Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. Buy one, get one free for 1 week only. Order today at EdenPureDeals.com with code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for joining us. We've got a busy day ahead. Fun, but very busy. John Hinderacher from Powerline Blog is going to join the show. And also Toby Leary in the 2 o'clock. I'm very excited to speak with both of those guests. With John Hinderacher, I haven't chatted with him in quite some time. And he's going to join us at 1:05 to cover a few different topics. Israel launching an operation into Rafah, despite the admonishments from Joe Biden and the American media. Turns out that the don't doesn't work on anybody. It doesn't work on the terrorists, and it doesn't work on Israel. It just doesn't work as foreign policy goes. They did not have a kumbaya moment with Hamas over the terror group's bogus ceasefire that was announced yesterday. In fact, this ceasefire decision, this sudden ceasefire decision, right after Israel told everybody in Rafah, if you can clear out, now would be the time, and made it very obvious that an attack was imminent, Hamas has this change of heart and says, actually, we accept a ceasefire. They didn't run it by Israel. They didn't run it by the United States. And so Israel decided that the only way for this war to end is to take out the terrorist savages who started said war. And the media is flummoxed by this. You know, they offered a ceasefire. The people who came in and beheaded people and raped women and dragged them around, the kibbutzes, they just offered you a ceasefire. In exchange for nothing, and you didn't take it? What are you looking for? So we're going to talk about that, and I also want to get Hinderacher's take on, he's been following what he calls the farce of a trial in New York City, and this hush money trial, which today, huge, huge reaction from the press, and also from Trump on Truth Social about the fact that Stormy Daniels, the porn star, is on the stand today. I guess this came as a surprise to Trump's legal team. He put out a truth and then he deleted it. He probably realized it's not a good look to admit your lawyers were surprised by something. But we're going to talk to John Hinderacher about the efficacy of these witness choices by Alvin Bragg and, you know, rehashing things, whether it be Access Hollywood or, you know, just some of this dirty laundry that's getting aired that we've already heard of. But, you know, the first thing that caught my eye today when I was following along, and I do think there's a little bit here of just easy programming. I don't want to say lazy programming, but easy programming for these networks that are just running with this Stormy Daniels stuff. I guess it gets eyeballs, Jared, just having like a picture of Stormy Daniels up there and running with it. It's a catchy headline. You know, Stormy Daniels testifies, maybe for people who like the gossip. But I'm a gossip girl. You guys know that. I love the tabloids. I love the trashy. The trashier the tabloid, the better for me. And I keep looking at this and going, okay, so? Like what? Besides the fact that you're airing dirty laundry, which, by the way, Jared, has been out on the line for decades at this point. This laundry is dry as a flipping board. And they just keep putting out the same old stuff. And that's fine for, you know, bubblegum for the eyes. But is it moving anything as far as the actual criminal case goes, as far as the alleged criminal act, the misdemeanor turned felony? Like, is it anything that is going to change the facts we already have? One thing that did catch my eye, though, aside from all of that, is that Fox has this little box on the side. I keep suggesting, I think it's a great idea, red zone for all these Trump trials. You have all different screens following each different one. And you know what? We'll throw the Karen Reed one in there, too. Make it easy for everybody. Make it easy for me, for my viewing preferences. But in the corner, it said, Stormy Daniels, and I won't get the phrasing exactly that Fox had there, but it talked about how she wrote one book and she's writing two more. And I hate to sound judgmental because it's really not a knock on Stormy. But we need some common sense book control in this country. It's getting out of control. It's getting ludicrous. Sure, you have a story to tell. You know, you spanked Trump with a magazine or whatever she wants to. You have one. That's good. You're good for maybe one book with that story. You can pack it all in. But three? It's a three-parter? A trilogy? Like, what is this? The Hunger Games? And, you know, I really shouldn't be the book police. I shouldn't tell people what. It's a free country, after all. That's what makes it so great. And if you can get paid, if you can sell something and get paid, good on you. But who's buying these Stormy Daniels books? Like, is there a market for that? Are people clamoring for, we need the next one? It's not meant, and again, I will reiterate this because I don't want to be taken out of context here. Like my friend Joe Biden or recently my friend Kathy Hochul, I would hate to be taken out of context. It's not just a knock on Stormy. I'm not picking on her specifically. I think this quite often about books, these celebrity memoirs, when they crank out more, they crank out one like every 5 years, Jared, and each one is like the real me underneath it all, the real story. Well, you just told us the real story 5 years ago. How much could have changed in 5 years? You need another memoir? You need another biography? Maybe it's a biography. That was the first one. And the two upcoming books are works of fiction. And then I'll eat my words and I'll take a back seat.
Do we know who is publishing these books that gave the advance on this?
I do not know. But keep in mind, self-publishing is a big thing now. So there is a chance that maybe she's just... You know, you can check that out, though, Jared. Maybe it's...
Yeah, I don't know if it was in the article. There's a chance she's self-publishing. There's also a chance that this is a payoff for all of this testimony from some Democrat-run book money laundering scheme.
I'm just
putting it out there. I know I'm no legal beagle, but...
You know, Jared...
Here's two books worth of advance for... counteracting a statement you put out in 2018 that you never had an affair with Trump.
Sure.
Just go for it.
You want to suggest
money... We got the judge. It's cool.
If you want to suggest money laundering when it comes to beautiful pieces of motel artwork, I will hear you out. But the book industry is above board, my friend. There is no getting through the... There's no corrupting the moral and decent book industry that Stormy Daniels is involved with. So take that accusation and get out of my sight.
As long as it's not a picture book.
We will get to Stormy Daniels with John Hinderaker, which I'm excited about. Staying with the Empire State, though, Jared, I think what I want to start with today, I want to give Governor Kathy Hochul a little bit of attention. It's been a while since we talked about her. It's probably been a month. I think the last time I spoke at length about Kathy Hochul was when, because she's kind of irrelevant. Like, New York is, yes, New York is a dumpster fire, but I don't think anyone thinks she can fix it or anything she's doing is going to change that. They're kind of just waiting her out. So Kathy Hochul, though, the last time I talked about her, she was being confronted by a mourner at Officer Jonathan Diller's wake in Long Island. That was the last time she was in the news. She's in the news today because she was at a gathering. I read about all these gatherings and summits and conferences that these people travel to. Like, recently, we talked about the mayor of D.C., went to the Masters, and then the mayor of San Francisco went to China in search of a panda for the San Francisco Zoo. And now I find out Kathy Hochul is in California at this summit or this gathering of political and business leaders. You know what it must be? She must go to California to take notes on what they're doing wrong on the West Coast so she can bring it back to the East Coast. Like, can't you picture that, Jared? She's got her legal pad out and she's going, okay, so you guys only clean up the needles when Xi Jinping comes to town. Besides that, you leave the human poop on the street.
Item 22, get panda.
Panda search. Understood. So while she's at this conference in California, because there's nothing in New York that she needs to be focused on, she decides to talk a little bit about the importance of the internet. And I want to play this for all of you, and then we'll discuss in this first hour. This is Kathy Hochul. It's very reminiscent of something Joe Biden said a few years ago. This is Kathy Hochul, Cut 5.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
Do you think by the end of that sentence, she knew that she had stepped in it?
Yeah, when she kind of stopped.
Yeah.
She had that little, what did I say?
Like, oh, could I just rewind 10 seconds and redo that one? And obviously, it's reminding people of when Joe Biden said that minorities have a hard time. Was it vaccinations or was it identifications? Let's just play. This is what everyone's referring to, the flashback of Joe Biden. This is cut six.
Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online.
Yeah, he was talking about how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store. So that was his reasoning there. But I do want to say this. Sometimes you hear this phrase, and it comes up a lot. And I recently read something in the Wall Street Journal, not even recently, it was a while ago, about the soft bigotry of low expectations. We're all familiar with that.
Racism, racism.
It comes from a lot of these white savior liberals, you know, why they're doing such good work, why they know so much better than the minorities that they are convinced need to vote for them. Because as Joe Biden said, what did he say about the black voters? It's a monolith. Like, oh, they all are going to vote for me. But beyond that, the soft bigotry of low expectations, right? That phrase. That connotes a degree of subtlety. That makes you feel as though you have to read between the lines a little bit to understand the racism that is being delivered in a nuance. I don't even want to say nuance, but like in a subtle way, they're trying to be racist without being racist. What Kathy Hochul is saying and what Joe Biden is saying is just straight out racist. Just saying, oh, little black kids don't know what the word computer means. And you know what else? And Howie pointed this out earlier, and I didn't think of this one because it didn't get nearly enough attention. Yes, you could go back to the COVID vaccination online theory by Joe Biden, because that one obviously has the common denominator of the internet. But this is also reminding me of when Joe Biden said that children are growing up in households where they're not hearing a lot of words during the day. If I were a minority voter, I would be looking at these people going, what are you trying to say? Because this is it. They're just saying that they know better, that you should, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. We've heard this a million times. But this is Kathy Hochul's latest, that young black kids are in the Bronx don't know what the word computer is. I guess you just have to take her word for it. We'll talk about this when we come back. It's not the first time we've heard something like this. I just mentioned a few examples. I'm sure you guys have others, but we will talk about it. And Joe Biden today speaking at a Holocaust remembrance event. The only thing I can say about that is the first line of David Harsanyi's latest piece. People love to bemoan the fate of dead Jews who were unable to defend themselves. They're not too crazy about the living ones who do. I think that perfectly summarizes how Joe Biden feels about the Jewish people. Although he was raised, of course, in the Jewish community, lest you forget.
I'm sure he gave a stirring monologue on Islamophobia today.
Yes, yes. Well, what else is one to do on Holocaust Remembrance Day? It's only appropriate to make it about Islamophobia. Allergy season is here and you need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, which is a great thing. But you're also going to be, you're going to be dealing with the pollen. I was talking to my husband the other day. He said, I sat on a bench at work that was full of pollen. And he said, it just made me so tired for the rest of the day. You don't realize it, Jared, but it starts affecting your sinuses. And before you know it, you're getting drowsy. But the Eden Pure can handle that.
Yeah, the headaches that come with that, the allergy headaches are terrible. But the thunderstorm has helped me with my allergy headaches because I sit in the room with that purified air, the ionized air. Allergens and pollutants are eliminated. It clears everything up. You start to feel better. That's why you want to get the thunderstorm, and the BOGO is a great way to do it because I like to keep one in my car and I have some in the house. But with the BOGO, you get that extra one. It's free, so you can just keep it in the car because each unit has a cable. You plug into the unit, plug it into the USB port in your car. You can get that same ionized air in your car, which is very important when you're traveling. If you want to have the windows down on nice days, just crank it up, and you don't have to worry about those allergens.
Buy one, get one. BOGO. You cannot beat that. And I was yesterday, I heated up a frozen pizza, cooked up a frozen pizza, and it got smoky. You'd be surprised, Jared, how I can mess up almost anything. And I just turned on the thunderstorm, takes care of that smoke, takes care of that odor that comes from a burnt pizza. And it really is a great device. And like Jared said, there's no better time to get it than the buy one, get one sale. So take advantage of this BOGO deal. Here's what you want to do. EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Don't forget to use code GRACEBOGO. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Yesterday was the Met Gala. It's always the first Monday of May. I know. How do I know that? Well, I'm, at the end of the day, I'm still just a woman who wants to watch celebrities get dressed up. And I was checking all the outfits, by the way. I do it every year. You can't shame me for it. I like to see what people wear. And I guess the protesters were there, though, too. Naturally. The peaceful protesters defaced a World War I memorial in New York City before just wreaking havoc on all the celebrities. And there is a level of irony, which people are pointing out on social media, that they're there disrupting this event of beautiful people, all the beautiful people for the most part, who support their cause. But there's no rhyme or reason to these rebellions. You know, they eat their own. That last night was a perfect example. You had all of these spoiled, rotten psychos crashing an event full of celebrities like Gigi Hadid, who could not be more anti-Semitic if she tried. Her father was sending horrific messages to a pro-Israel Democrat in New York on Instagram. Things I can't even read on the air. They were so homophobic and anti-Semitic. A deadly combination from a left-wing celebrity's father. He's sending these awful messages. So these celebrities are there, you know, just rubbing elbows and wearing all these fancy gowns, and it's crashed by these pro-Palestinian, Jew-hating, crazy people. There's something poetic about it. I will say, though, Jerry Seinfeld was also there with his wife, and he has been extremely pro-Israel. And I've always loved Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm happy that I don't have to stop being a fan of his. And on this same note, we should talk about Portland, because remember we talked about the library at Portland State? They left these activists, left it in complete disarray. And the thing that stuck out to me, certain things stick out from every single school. You know, Columbia, the yarn spinning dances, the Manson cult-like dances on the front lawn. For Portland, it's the sticky substance on the floor of the library. Well, I have an update on Portland for you when we come back. But first, Jared, let's do the poll question, which is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. What is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which trial has a less reliable group of prosecution witnesses, the Trump hush money trial or the Karen Reed trial?
This is tough.
This is a tough one.
Because when you think about the Trump hush money trial, you've got Stormy Daniels, who's talked about this. You know what's really sad? Stormy Daniels met Donald Trump when she was 27. She's now 45, and this has become her entire life. She slept with him over a decade ago. And this is what, and again, it's not like I'm trying to pick on her specifically, but her whole life now has become about Trump. Every time she opens her mouth, every time she does any media appearance, it's about Trump and talking about the time they had sex together. And then when she signed a hush money agreement, an NDA, and broke it, obviously, at this point. But that's a long, long time to be talking about one person for a consensual sexual agreement that you made a long, long time ago. Out of those two options, I'm going to say Karen Reed, because the witnesses getting pulled up in the Karen Reed case are so enmeshed in the Canton incestuous society that I think that case takes the top spot.
Only 25% for the Karen Reed trial, 75% for hush money.
All right, we'll be right back with an update from...
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
And we recommit to heading and heeding the lessons that one of the darkest chapters in human history.
That was Joe Biden today at the Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony. He's talking about how he's very committed to Israel and to the Jewish people, even if he disagrees sometimes. He also talked about how people are already forgetting about October 7th. And how that was the doing of Hamas. And I'm thinking, are you, talk about projection. I think you might be forgetting. You're the one who's supposedly on the phone with Bibi every other day, telling him how you're very unhappy with everything he's doing. And keep in mind, they're not asking us to send troops to Israel. They're asking us if they can buy ammunition so that they can destroy Hamas. And this guy has been the most feckless supporter, and I'm using air quotes, supporter of Israel known to man. But they still put him out there for this. You know, I keep reading about how Biden's taking on a limited public speaking schedule. He's going to be shortening these speeches. Today might have been one that he could have just put out a statement for. Because I don't think anyone's buying this idea that he's so supportive of Jewish people. And I go back to, I know I just read it to you, but it's worth talking about because it reminds me of something else. So David Harsanyi essentially says, everybody loves to talk about, I should just read the actual thing because I'm going to butcher it. But this idea of everyone so supportive of Jews when they're gassed or killed or whatever, but when it comes to supporting the Jews who are fighting back and who are trying to save themselves, then it's a little bit different. Here it is. It says, people love to bemoan the fate of dead Jews who are unable to defend themselves. They're not too crazy about the living ones who do. And it also reminds me of when Joe Biden's describing the climate that led to the Holocaust. It sounds like today, like all these people with their heads in the sand. And the ironic part is, which Harsanyi also points out, any minor political setback for the left, they think can be likened to Nazi Germany in one way or another. But they don't see these freaks who are chanting burn Tel Aviv to the ground. That one they're not able to connect the dots with. They're like, I don't really see the comparisons to Nazis with this one. I see the comparisons with Nazis when Trump put too much fish food in the koi pond in Japan. But with this, I'm not really getting why people are likening this to Nazi Germany. Why is this anti-Semitism? When Trump got two scoops of ice cream, that one I could see. But this one's a little different. And it also makes me think of the fact that people, especially in the United States, like these white saviors, people with this white guilt, and it's not just white people, but the liberal mindset of virtue signaling and always having, they always think they have the moral high ground. And it's the only thing they can cling to. Because when you don't have the facts on your side, when you don't have the science on your side, you just claim you're a better person and everybody else is mean. And so one thing I've noticed is that all of these people, in their minds, they like to think that if they were around during World War II, if they were around during the time of Hitler, that they would have been the voice of reason, or like they would have seen through the propaganda. They would have been the one person, Jared, and not that there was one, there was more, but I'm just saying, like, in their minds, they're the German who looks at all the other Germans and goes, guys, this is wrong, and I'm going to explain to you why. You can't even be that here in present day with the knowledge of the Holocaust in your hands. You're still having trouble. They like to think that if they were around during slavery in the United States, that they would be the one person going, listen, this doesn't sit right with me. That's how delusional they are. But when an actual crisis occurs, when an actual atrocity occurs, like October 7th, where the most Jews were slaughtered since the Holocaust, and they have a time to put their money where their mouth is and show us how much you support the Jewish people and show us how much you mean it when you say never again and you do the hashtags on Instagram, what do? They sympathize with the Hamas-loving hippies on these college campuses. It's insanity. One other thing, though, that I wanted to add in here before I get to some of these sound cuts. Henry Cuellar, the Democrat from Texas, he has this indictment, right? And it's thick. And they've pretty much, I don't want to be the judge in this case, but it seems like they got him. It seems like there's not a lot of wiggle room for Henry Cuellar. But the conservative Treehouse had a story on this and on this indictment. And the charges and the activity date back to 2014. And they continue from 2014 on for the next 10 years and lead to an indictment that we just got, what was it, last week? Now, if you were a conspiracy theorist, you might say that the timing is kind of strange. How come he got away with it? Or how come they were gathering this information for 10 years and then they decide to do this now? Could it be because he was critical of Joe Biden's open border? This is from the Conservative Treehouse. One of the primary reasons the intelligence community was so fast to join the effort to eliminate the threat of Donald Trump, represented in 2016, was specifically due to the lack of corrupt activity that could be leveraged against him. Absent the ability to control the target, the intelligence community must create leverage. The intelligence institutions, in collaboration with the weaponized justice institutions, created the fourth branch of government. It was this system that was fine-tuned by Barack Obama and Eric Holder to target their political opposition. Representative Henry Cuellar is a warning to the other compromised people in D.C. not to challenge the administrative state. The Six Ways to Sunday group will focus on anyone who threatens the system. I've always heard that, like, when a Republican, for example, and I know, and it's important to note, Cuellar is a Democrat, but it doesn't matter if you go up against Joe Biden, if you threaten the stronghold, the Democrat stronghold of power, you are going to be like Eric Adams, like Henry Cuellar, like Bob Menendez. And I'm not saying any of these people are innocent. Well, they are innocent until proven guilty, but I'm not saying they don't have skeletons in their closet, but none of that would matter, or at least they would have had a longer time in the sun if they hadn't gone against Joe Biden. But the other point of this, too, is when you see a Republican cave on something and you think to yourself, why can't they stand up for themselves? Like, they believed in XYZ and then they totally caved. We always say weak kneed Republicans, Republicans in name only. Why did they back down? Why did they capitulate to what the Democrats want? I've heard the response from some conservatives, from some columnists, they say it's because they have them over a barrel. Like, they have leverage against them. They have something on them. And I always thought that was kind of far-fetched. I always thought that was a little out there. But now I'm not so sure. And think about Mike Johnson for a second. Speaker Mike Johnson comes in after Kevin McCarthy as the stop sending aid to Ukraine guy, basically. Secure the border and stop sending aid to Ukraine. Not a penny more to Ukraine until we secure the border. He ends up going along with a foreign aid bill that not only sends more money to Ukraine, but makes the border crisis even worse. That exacerbates what's happening at our open border. How does that happen? And they go, oh, the SCIF, the intelligence briefing, you know, he sat down and they showed him things he had never seen. He didn't realize that if he doesn't give money to Ukraine, Putin's going to roll through Europe. Maybe. But maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something a little bit more nefarious. Just a thought. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls here. And one other, since we're kind of just going through some of the stories that I want to get to before we bring on John Hinderaker in the 1 o'clock. We've been talking a lot about Kristi Noem and this cricket story. Jared just perked up there. I haven't seen you that enthusiastic in a while, Jared. You're ready to go here. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, at one point was a contender. She could have been a contender. Okay, she was potentially going to be Trump's VP. I would say the ship has sailed on that.
Love your dog.
She admitted in this manuscript of a book, again, common sense book control. Everybody's got a book to sell. She writes this manuscript where she talks about how she shot their 14-month-old puppy, Cricket, and that's farm life, and what are you going to do? And Cricket wasn't a good hunting dog and was attacking chickens and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And of course, people are outraged. People love dogs, especially Americans. Americans go crazy over dogs. And you can argue about why or, oh, people should care more about humans all you want. People care about what they care about. And people in this country love pups. So this comes out, and you might be saying to yourself right now, Grace, we've already talked about this. This is old news. Who cares about Kristi Noem? You're pouncing and seizing and weaponizing. You're spending too much time on it. I wish I was focusing too much on old news. She won't stop talking about it. Take a listen to Cut 8. This is her on CBS. This is Kristi Noem. And by the way, this is an even more reason to not pick her for VP, because the lack of judgment she showed by putting this in a manuscript is actually nothing compared to the lack of judgment she's showing in not shutting her mouth about it. She thinks she's making things better? Cut 8.
You talk multiple times about it. In fact, at the end of the book, you say the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket. Are you doing this to try to look tough? Do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
Well, number one, Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog and
what
to do with
it? Well, he's not living at the White House.
That's the question that the president should be held accountable to.
You're saying he should be shot?
That's what the president should be accountable to, is what is the number?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if do you have a shot at this is the best way to put it. She's suggesting, like, I really do question what the point of this book was. Maybe it was just to seem tough to, like, the farmers out there. And even if it's mission accomplished on that front, is it mission accomplished if the farmers like you, but everybody else is freaked out? Everybody else is concerned? If there's a chilling effect on the rest of the country? Again, I'm not the one harping on this. She goes on CBS to talk about or to defend the fact that she, and what a weird threat to put in a book. I mean, I'm not a fan of Joe Biden, and I'm also, but I don't really, even in the case of Commander and those dogs, I think they were put in a bad environment. In that case, I blame Joe Biden. Like, there was clearly no training involved. They clearly were scared to be around all those people. And after the first attack, he should have said, this is not a good place for them to be, but he kept them there. But I'm not going to write a book suggesting I would shoot one of them.
Yeah, we need to shoot all the dogs we can might not be the best platform.
I always say that I want to be like a political consultant and a political strategist. And I usually started by saying, yeah, I don't have a lot of experience in this front. Like, oh, you know, what do I know about political consultant? I actually think I'd be pretty good at it, because this I could tell people. Like, you come to me, you say, I want to be VP. I'm really excited. I'm writing a book. I'm going to write about how I shot my 14-month-old puppy in the head. I would say, I know enough to say, we'll leave that one out. Well, you know what, Kristi? We're going to leave that one between us. That one stays in this office. 844-500-4242. Oh, and I almost forgot. Portland. I gotta talk about it when we come back. I keep teasing this. So Nick Arama from Red State wrote a great piece about the library at Portland State. Now, Portland State's full of these young people. They've got the trash cans and the gas masks and the umbrellas, and they're fighting with the Portland police. It's not really a fight. Portland police handled them pretty well. They take over the library on Monday. The cops don't go into the library until Thursday and clear it out. What they find is just a disaster. All the fire alarms have been dismantled. There's sticky stuff all over the floor, which immediately, that was what stuck out to me. I was like, that's disgusting. The whole place is ruined. And 17 cop cars happened to be set on fire during that same week. It didn't mention, Nick Arama said, you know, maybe this has some connection to the peaceful protesters pouring some sort of substance all over the floor of the library, it turns out Nick Arima was correct. There is a link between the two. Allegedly. We'll talk about that on the other side. You know what's something I never thought I'd say? That the 17 cop cars in Portland were set ablaze by pro-Palestine activists. And also, something I never thought I'd say was, I can't wait to go to the dentist. That's not something you typically say. Going to the dentist for a lot of people is a headache, or it's something, honestly, for some, it's something that they are afraid of. You get nervous, you're afraid you're going to go in, and you're going to be told all the things you're doing wrong, and that your teeth don't look great. And that's not the environment you want to go into. That's why Perfect Smiles is so great. They are non-judgmental. They want you to feel comfortable. They want you to have a great experience. And they want you to have, most importantly, the smile that you've always dreamed about. I love everybody at Perfect Smiles. From the second you walk in, Melissa at the front desk, everybody, Stephanie, everybody there is top-notch. And of course, there's Dr. Houghton, who is incredibly skilled and passionate about what he does. And he's going to put you first. He's going to walk you through this process. You're going to figure out exactly what you want to do. And it comes out just the way you've always dreamed of. So don't wait. Don't keep putting yourself last. You think you're being a hero by doing that? You're not. Put yourself first, because when you feel good, everybody else feels better around you. And if you want to check out Perfect Smiles, it's located off Route 3 in Nashua. If you're near it, great. If it's a drive, trust me, it's worth the trip. Don't just trust anyone with your smile. Trust the A-team at Perfect Smiles. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
I know we were doing a little bit of, I shouldn't say lighter stuff, because I don't think Kristi Noem talking about shooting Joe Biden's dog, which I guess she wasn't really talking, alluding to shooting Joe Biden's dog isn't really light. But all of these stories, compared to what we're going to talk to John Hinderaker about, are kind of second tier. And John Hinderaker is going to talk to us about Israel, Hamas, Stormy Daniels, and this trial. But in the meantime, let's go to Patrick. You're next up. What's going on, Patrick?
Hey, Grace. I wanted to point out that the thing that Henry Cisneros was accused of and had been indicted for is exactly what Joe Biden has been accused of, which is using his relatives to route money through a series of LLCs.
Henry Cuellar in Texas.
Cuellar, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It seems like they're creating a precedent to prosecute Biden.
Oh, I wish, Patrick. Oh, you're an optimist. I don't think that's what's going on. But let me read, because Patrick brings up a great point. I don't think there's anything. There's a lot of things that you can get away with if you have, like, plausible deniability, as one of Biden's brothers said. Or I think if you do things under a certain umbrella, like a lot of these politicians, Nancy Pelosi, for example, people can have all the issues they want with the way she's involved with insider trading, or, you know, the way she trades with stock tips and stuff. But there's nothing illegal about it. You know, we might think it's wrong, but that doesn't mean it's illegal. You have to know the game to a degree. And I'm not suggesting Biden didn't do anything illegal. But what I am saying is, it seems like Cuellar, they've got him dead to rights here. It says Representative Cuellar and his wife are each charged with two counts of conspiracy to commit bribery of a federal official and to have a public official act as an agent of a foreign principal, two counts of bribery of a federal official, and two counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. It sounds a lot like Bob Menendez. And to that last caller's point, to Patrick's point, Bob Menendez sounded a lot like the Bidens. So he's right. And Miranda Devine wrote a great piece on that. Howie Carr wrote a great piece on that. The comparisons between Bob Menendez and the Biden family, Bob Menendez was like nothing compared to what the Bidens were pulling. That was really chump change compared to the diamonds and the millions of dollars and the pay-to-play of the Bidens. But keep in mind, that Joe Biden is the top dog right now, whether we like it or not. So I don't think they're setting anything up to take down Joe Biden, politically speaking. I think that Henry Cuellar spoke out against Joe Biden, and this is the result. But you know what, Patrick? I kind of hope you're right. We'll be right back.